Well, good morning, everyone. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. So, yes, as you may see, we became officially parents and we passed through the 3 months of probation recently, and we are permanent for a lifetime job. So, thank you. All right, so this is our little one. We named him Ruel. God gave this wonderful name and he confirmed it that this is the name that we have to name him. So, the meaning of the name is Ruel. Means a friend of God. So yes, he's sleepy, and this is the yeah for now, right? And this is my wonderful wife, who became a mother and made me a father as well. So we are the team in this family, and the reason why we came together as a family is because as when we say a person as a father, it's not just the person, the man himself. He carries the whole family along with him, with all that God has believed on that person's life. So that's one thing. And we want to start by reading a small scripture, and then we will see what we have prepared for you all. It's not we have prepared, it's the Lord who made us to prepare to share this information. Yes. Okay. Thank you, Lord. All right. We're going to read from 1 Thessalonians. Well, I'm not a great guy with these PPD stuffs. I'm just kind of old school, so I'll go through the Bible. If you have a Bible, I'll give you the information. You can just scroll through it, okay? All right, so 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, from verse 11 till 18.
Therefore,
Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves. And we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Amen. Hallelujah. Right. So, oh yeah, we'll just take a moment to pray and then we'll send them away. Okay. Well, it's Father's Day. Why don't we name a mother here? Yeah, anyways. Anyways, so we'll pray. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we come before your presence, Lord. Thank you for letting us to walk into your presence with boldness and courage, that your blood is always upon us, Lord Jesus, even until this day. Father, we thank you. Father, let not the vessel be glorified, but the one who wields the vessel be glorified. And Jesus, we want you to be in this place throughout this day and forever with us, Lord. Lord, we give you the glory and honor and praises. We ask you, our dear friend, wonderful friend, Holy Spirit, to take over this time and be glorifying the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Am I too loud? It's not too loud, eh? If I'm too loud, just let me know, because it's my vocal cord. Sometimes it will be loud. All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Be gone. That's good. All right. Well, thank you again for letting me to share about the Lord himself. It's always a pleasure, and it's good to know Jesus in life. There's no other great gift that I have received in my life personally other than Jesus. And there's so much joy to spend time with him. And it is a blessing as a person. Just to introduce myself, me and Susmita, we are from southern part of India. It's called Tamil Nadu. It's a very a conservative place. Where the Lord sent his one of his disciples 2,000 years ago. His name is Thomas. Thomas came to Kerala. Kerala is where my brother Tobin is from, and from there Thomas came to Chennai. That's where my wife is from. And Thomas was killed in Chennai because he was preaching the word of God, and that's the first blood testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ that was shed on our land. And since then, God never forgotten us.
And then he brought missionaries into our land. Many missionaries came, and I am a product, a byproduct of a sacrifice a missionary made a few years ago. And we were under the rule of the Dutchmen. We were serving a Dutchman, and he was a missionary. And he is the one who brought Jesus into the lives of our grandparents. And that's how we know Jesus. Though we know Jesus as a Lord, we never had an experience to how to live with him. And this is something very new to our family when the Holy Spirit intervened his presence into our life and showed, I am still here, and I am the Holy Spirit, and I am the one who walked with Jesus, and I will be walking with you all. And since then, we know the Lord through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Yeah. So glory to Jesus. So one thing I always think in my mind is, no one can serve Jesus or call upon him without the Holy Spirit. It is something that has to be given by the Lord, and it should come from heaven. So there are many things, many theologies or preachings that's going on, but if the preaching does not support what the Holy Spirit has to say, that is not from him. All right, so let's be very careful because we are in a world where we are going to see Jesus soon, very soon. So we'll be prepared for it. Well, let's get into our Father's Day celebrations. So I was walking around. I was just thinking what I would like to bring to WCC. I know the Lord has something for WCC, but I, Kenny myself, I want to bring something to the congregation. So I found this wonderful card, and which is going to be the theme of what I'm going to share today. And there are three parts in this. I'm going to show the first part of the theme. So this is to the world, you are a dad, but your family. We are going to see what are you to your family in a few more moments. So I'm just going to leave it there. All right. And how many fathers are here? Let's raise your hands. Oh, come on, boldly. Boy, it's your day. Come on. I need some support. Okay. I'm still new to this job. Okay. So you gotta encourage me on that. Yeah. It's really difficult to be a father. And now I know. Also, and there are senior fathers here, and I really thank you. You are here as a father because it is not by your strength, it is not by your abilities or your might, it is because the Holy Spirit, it's by the Spirit of the Lord, you have sailed through in a successful way in keeping your family together. Yeah, because my life, so I have a father who's still alive. He's not a great one. But I'm really happy. Lord let things go through certain circumstances in my life because he made me to see who the real father is, who is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. So in every circumstances that I've seen, I have never seen my physical father in my side, but I've seen the Holy Spirit, who walked with our sides, and he's living with us. So I wrote something today just to share a little bit of a portion from me, and then we'll go with the Bible. A father is born when he receives the child in his arms the very first time, just like the mothers, but fathers are a step above mothers in the process of birth. It's our day, I told you, because you have to forgive me again, okay? All right. You see, because mothers experience the change of being a mom in an emotional, like in a physical, psychological, in a course of time. There's a 10-month process for a mom to become a mother. So it's gradual, it's slow, minute by minute, second by second. But for a father, it is an instant. In an instant, a man becomes transformed from being a son, to being a man, to be a husband, and to be a father. This is something God has given the fathers, a wonderful opportunity in this life. We go through this special, very special thing, and it's unique in accepting the new change in our life, a new life indeed, and we embrace that, and we stay responsible towards it. That's very important. Fathers are great. We are great. We are great. Yes, fathers are great. We smile every day and we won't show the pain. And stay determined. And we stay determined to bring happiness to their family at all times. Fathers hold authority and exercise power in a constructive measure to build the walls of protection, showing perseverance in achieving goals and by providing all the needs of his family. Fathers are funny, realistic, and at times we are dumb. There's no... I'm not shameful of saying that, but anyways. Okay. Fathers are resilient and physically strong, but emotionally weak. So it's very important. Fathers are physically strong. We cannot move a father. We cannot just go, hey, man. But if you say something about some more emotional towards their child, tears will roll down their eyes. You know, that's one thing I've seen in my Heavenly Father, and that's what I've shared today. And then I also asked the Lord, you want to talk, you let me this opportunity to talk about something today. I have no idea, because I never had this close relationship with my father who is living on earth. I can really count how many times I called him as a dad. So tell me what I want to say. And he said something. You're going to speak about someone who I chose to be my father on earth. And that really blew my mind. Because there's very less preaching that has been spoken about this man in the Bible. Many people speak about the mother of Jesus, but very less they spoke about the father of Jesus. His name is Joseph, you may know. And it's not Christmas yet, but anyways, I have to share about him. That's because that's my, that's my job today. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So the theme of our message is a man who was chosen to be a father. All right. I believe every father in this place, or who is going to be a father very soon, is chosen by God. And God has given the ability for that man to carry this family, to carry his child and children's. So let's turn over to the book of Luke, chapter 1, verse 27. How did the Lord choose Joseph? So in the Bible, in the Old Testament, it says that the Messiah has to be born from a virgin. But it doesn't speak much about Joseph, the father of Jesus. But it has to be coming from the genealogy of the tribe of Judah. That's all we can find as in trace about Joseph. But there's nothing much that we can see. Even so, God was very specific in finding that right person for the right time. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 1, verse 27, it says, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. So when I did my research, I found that Joseph and Mary, they belonged to the same house of David. So they are from the tribe of Judah. It's not just Joseph, but Mary is also from the tribe of Judah. Hallelujah. So that's first thing. God chose a person. If you are a father, you're not just a father because you married a woman, or you accepted a child, or you have been given a child. It's because God has chose you as a father, and that's why you are a dad today. Hallelujah. Are you happy about it? Oh, yes. All right. Okay. And now, this choice was made in heaven. Jesus said, everything that we receive has to be received from heaven. It's from the Lord. And I believe everything that happens today, the sun rises up, sun sets, it is all determined by the Lord in heaven. We cannot say anything. I have a background of engineering, so I did a lot of research on myself. I truly believe science helps, but it does not prove what the power of God really can accomplish in life. Amen. Hallelujah. So that's one thing. And now, God chose you. Always remember that. Fathers, God chose you. And he chose you to be the father of this family. Now, let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 4. Now, Joseph has been chosen to be the father of Jesus. He did not know who Jesus is. He was just being chosen to be the father of Jesus. So now Luke chapter 2 verse 4 says, "And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the lineage of David." And this proves that God has accomplished the prophecy that he has spoken through his people, his prophets. Because he has to be born out of Bethlehem. He has to be born out of the house of David. It's from the tribe of Judah. And you see, the prophecy is fulfilled in the life of this father whose name is Joseph here. And as fathers, God has prophesied a lot, many things in your life, in my life, and it will be accomplished. And only when it gets accomplished, when we yield ourselves and give a complete obedience to what he wants to do in our life. So what I understand from this little part is that Joseph was made to walk in the will of God. It's not his will to go, but he was made to walk in the will of God. You have to be married to Mary. You have to go to Judea. You have to be in Bethlehem. This is where my son is going to be born. He was guided by the Lord. So that's a very important aspect. So first thing is that God chose you and God will make you walk in the path that he chose for you. But you have to be surrendered and obedient to what he wants to do in your life. And now, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17. Just want to highlight something there. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 17 says, "Only let each person lead the life the Lord has assigned to him, and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches." So this is the scripture that emphasizes every man, every father should lead the life that God has for that person, has how he called them. Your calling is important. Every father, every man has a calling. Every woman has a calling. But today's Father's Day will be more specific on fathers. Every father has a calling in their life. And when a father gets low or when they are challenged, you have to look upon your calling, because that's where you would get the power that you need, the strength that you need to lead your family. All right, let's go to Romans verse chapter 8, verse 14 and 16. Romans 8, 14 to 16. "For all who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God." What I mean to say is, we can be a father. I can be a father. I have a child, I have a son, and I have the authority over him. But I should never forget that I am a child of God and he has authority over me. Amen? It's very important, because at times we forget, because we are humans. We are just humans. We forget, but we should never be led out of the path that God has chosen us to do in our life. All right. Now, this is very interesting. Let's go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. I want to show this. This is something that's eye-opening for me as well. I have never realized. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20 and 21. I'll read it. "But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, 'Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins.'" Now you see, the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph. A father is a person who has to have or urged to have or to possess the gifts of the Holy Spirit. This Joseph has a resemblance to the Joseph in the book of Genesis. That guy is a dreamer. This guy is also a dreamer. That was eye-opening for me. Wow, okay. Well, that's good. Right. So God spoke to him in a dream. And he got the instruction from the Lord how to name your son, how to name your daughter. What is the name that God has chosen? Because he's the one who called the child. It's not me. It's not Susmita who called this guy as Reuel. It is him who said, name him that name, because I called him as Reuel. So that's very important. So we have to be a person, a father must be a person who should possess the gifts of the Lord and to exercise it in confidence. Hallelujah. All right. So now, we see another thing in the same little verse, that he is able to hear the word of God. That's very important. A father should be always attentive and alert to hear the word of God. We should know what is the sound of God and what is not the sound of God. What is the sound of the people around us and what is our own sound? Because we have our own mind and emotions that speak to us sometimes. And we should be able to differentiate that. How can we do that? As I said, you should be led by the Holy Spirit. Only then we can do that. Without the Holy Spirit, there is no holiness on earth, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord. So that's very important. All right, so now let's go to Luke. Sorry, I missed something in between. John chapter 10, verse 27. And this is how a father should be. John chapter 10, 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. These are the words that are spoken by Jesus himself. He says, my sheep hear my voice. As a father, we have to be able to hear the Lord's voice. It is very difficult in this world to hear Lord's voice because we hear a lot of voices that is around us. Satan is always ready for us. You see, Satan is not, it is a spirit, but it won't be happy when it pulls an unholy or ungodly man to hell. It won't be happy, but it will be happy if it pulls a holy or a godly man to hell. So it is always looking for us. It is always waiting as a lion that wants to devour its prey. So you have to be very careful, fathers. Just be very careful and be vigilant, okay? And hear God's voice. That's very important. You are a sheep, not a shepherd in the family, okay? So that's one thing. Now, a father should endure tests from God. This is very important. God tests you. He gave the child. Just not, okay, here, have the child. This is what you asked for. I blessed you. He didn't leave like that. He tested me after that. The test was very crucial. And I want to share this. After we came back, Susmita had a C-section. After we came back from the hospital, we were really tired and exhausted. And I really want to take this moment to thank the church. This is the family that stood with us throughout the times and helped us. God bless you all. You see, in a week, she slipped the stairs. And she slipped 3 stairs down. Still, the wound was fresh. And I was sleeping. She didn't wake me up. So we did like rotational shifts. So I woke up and I came in and she said, I want to say something to you. I was like, oh yeah, what is it? You make sure that you should not be mad because I'm saying this to you. I was like, why? What she's talking about? She said, I slipped. For a moment, I thought, what? What did you say? You slipped. Slipped from where? From the stairs. And the moment I felt chills all over my body. I was like, my God, what's going to happen now? What happened? What's going on? I couldn't comprehend things. But then I remembered there's one thing that God has promised me before I came to Canada. Cast all the things unto me and trust in me, and I will make it possible for you. And that verse came to my mind, and I said Lord, you have control on these things, on my life and her life and the baby's life. I trust in you. So we rushed to the hospital. We rushed to our doctor. Our family doctor was so kind enough. She took us in. She checked everything. She said, there's nothing to worry about. Your wife is doing normal. Everything is good. And then I felt the peace that came through into my heart. So God tests us. But the test could be severe. It could be in any form, in any way, in any means. But that doesn't mean that we should step out and say, oh Lord, I trusted you. We should not be a complainer, but we should be a person who should be able to realize what the test that God brings forth and how we are going to pass through the test. It's very crucial. Hallelujah. All right, so every father here, be ready for your tests. and be content with all the things that God has blessed you with. That's very important. Yeah, because so this one good thing about the people who know Jesus is they are content. You are all content. And stay in that contentness and give God glory in all times. So how do we pass through the test? How do you know that a father has passed the test? So this is a scripture in Matthew chapter 7, 17 till 23. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear a good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, you will recognize them by their fruits. The fruits of God is really important for a man's and a woman's life, because by the fruit, we can know if that person has a relationship with God. You know why? The fruits of the God are the attributes or the characters of God himself. It's not a human character. It is the God, it's the Lord's character. And there's no one can question that, because that's what God expects us, and that proves a man has been transformed in the presence of God when he bears those fruits. So when you go through a challenge, you have to. So after we came back from the doctor's office, as a man, a father, I got a little mad. Not because she slipped, because she waited for that 6 hours or so to let me know that. I said, like, why don't you tell me that, like, you're sleeping? Who cares? It is important. It's life-threatening. What could have happened? So then I said something. I forgot what I said, but now thanks a lot. Thank you for making me forget things. And that was not pleasant. And then that what I said, it really hurt me. And the Lord spoke to me the same day. I said, you said these things. That's cursing words. You cannot say, you cannot curse your wife. Go and say, be sorry. Then I went. I told her, see, I told you this because I was mad. I didn't say it because I wanted to say that on you. I said it out of my anxiety. So forgive me. Lord told me to ask you this. So I did. So the Lord watches over us. Husbands and fathers and dads, God watches over you, and he's very much keen in every inch of your life that he will be correcting us if we do something that he does not like. Hallelujah. So bear fruits. Bear fruits is very important. All right. Now, this is the part of a father in a family and how a father should behave when it comes to the work of the Lord. This is very important. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2, verse 22 to 24. And when the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, they brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. So this is Jesus, and Joseph is carrying the little boy to Jerusalem. And at the time, as it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. So now this father, we see the Lord chose the man to be his father on earth, is doing what God has purposed, God has promised, and being obedient to what the scripture says. So that's very important. Joseph knows the scriptures. He knows what the word of God is, and he followed it. That's very important for us, myself, including myself. Whatever I speak, it's not for the fathers. I'm a father too, officially. So it's speaking to me. Okay, so I should know the word of God, and I have to make sure my child knows the word of God and the ways of God. Because Joseph brought Jesus to Jerusalem to show him that this is the way of the Lord. You come to church, you do this, you give sacrifice to the Lord, and that's how the way it has to be. So Joseph made sure that he grew this little son of him, God has gifted, in not in his own way, but in the way of God. So that's very important, fathers. Now, and obeying to it. All right. So now, fathers know how to protect their family. Let's see what Joseph did to protect his family. Let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. Now when they had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt. Now we see Joseph and Mary has a new child, a wonderful, amazing, beautiful child. Joseph is getting a direction from the Lord. Pack your things, everything, don't leave anything at all. Run to Egypt. Now, from Jerusalem to Egypt is a long walk. They didn't have cars or car seats. Now I have a car seat. So I'm happy. You know, I'll put it there and you'll be gone in a few minutes. But imagine carrying a child on a donkey, or like it's going to be a nightmare. But he made sure that it happened, because he obeyed to the Lord's voice. Whatever the struggle we may face, if we have to carry our family to a safer place, we have to do it, because it's not our decision to make; it is His decision to make how He is going to protect us. Hallelujah. Amen. Lord, thank you for this wonderful word. And then, you see, a father, Joseph, brought his family to Egypt. They are staying there for 4 years. So, and now the Lord appears to him again in the dream. So all through this life, not since the time he became father, like even before he became a father, he was obedient to God and he listened to God's voice. And even after that, he went to Egypt. He was listening to God's voice. That's very important. The consistency of being present and being attentive to the Lord's voice is very important as a father. And that's how we can make sure that our children grow in the right direction. So let's go to Matthew chapter 2, verse... Did I read that just now? No. I just read... Yeah, sorry. Matthew 2, 14 and 15. And here... 15, I'm so sorry. Oh, yes. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord has spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I call my son." See, again, there is a prophecy that has been fulfilled by the action of a father as well. Yeah. Right? So it's very important. We don't know. I don't know what God has planned for this little guy's life. And I don't want to know that, because it is Lord and him. It's between them. I don't want to intervene and be the person to mess things up. We do. Fathers do mess things up. Are we not? Okay. Well, let's take some... today is our day. I'm so sorry, fathers. Anyways. Truth has to be said out loud. Okay. But Joseph was so such a nice and obedient guy to the Lord. He accomplished the purpose of God, and that's how God fulfilled the prophecy. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. He will guide us through. And now, Matthew chapter 2, verse 19 and 20. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel. For those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. So now we see here Joseph protected his family, and the prophecy has been fulfilled. Now the direction of the Lord comes to Joseph to take him back to Jerusalem to serve what God has meant for the child to do. As a father, we protect our family, we supply their needs, and we balance every possible ways that the family stays intact and happy. However, we have to bring them to the Lord's purpose as well. We guide the child to see who Jesus is. It is our responsibility, not the mom's responsibility. Yes, they have responsibility, but we cannot neglect that, because we are the ones who has been chosen to be the father of the child. Hallelujah. Well, every father say hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right. Well, thank you, Lord. All right. Okay. And that's teamwork. Yes. The reason why I say this, let's go a little to the Old Testament, because we are seeing things in the New Testament. That's good. But let's go to Psalms chapter 4. Sorry, chapter 46, 4 and 5. The reason why I say that we as fathers has to lead our children to the Lord's purpose and his work is because in Psalms 46 chapter 4 says, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when morning dawns. So there is a city, a holy city where God is residing. And there is the stream of water that flows through, and that water flows through each one of you here. And we make sure that we make sure that our children's meet the waters that flows through you and I. That's very important. So always make sure you glorify God before your child. You glorify God. Things go wrong, you glorify God. Anything that happens, a joy, you glorify God. Say thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You be the model that your child sees and glorifies Lord in his holy city. Hallelujah. All right. Now this is the most important part for fathers. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. Mm-hmm. There we go. Teamwork. Teamwork is dream work. Hallelujah. Yes. You team with your wife, the mother of the child, and do the work. That's very important. My earthly father failed to do that. That's why he's a mess. And I'm not shameful by saying, because you see, my grandfather was baptized by a missionary from the Dutch ministry. He had four children. Out of the four, all three, the rest of the three is doing the work of God. But just this one, the elder one, not willing to do the work of God. And that really brings anger to us in the family, because, and why are you different in this way? You know who the Lord is. You know how he has protected you in every possible means. Then why you don't bow yourself before him? You see, that's very important. Because he failed to work as a team, and he's still failing. My father wants to stay isolated. He doesn't want to mingle with anyone in the family, and he doesn't want to work anything as a team. That's danger. That's danger, because Satan is looking for that. If you are alone, grab his neck. Yeah, that's how we catch chickens back in my hometown. We'll isolate the chicken from the flock. Take her to the corner and hold her neck. But the curry is good. Okay. Just to be more funny and happy. Hallelujah. Okay. See, fathers are funny. I told you the truth. Oh, yes. Well. All right. Well, that's great. And since Chuck said he's hungry now, we're going to end the session very soon. I'm just saying. Okay, so teamwork. Let's see. Luke chapter 2, verse 39. And when they had performed everything according to the law of the Lord, they returned into Galilee to their own town of Nazareth. And the child grew and became strong, filled with wisdom, and the favor of God was upon him. And now his parents went to Jerusalem every year at the feast of the Passover. So now we see that it's not just Mary, it's Joseph as well who raised the child, because we see later in the scriptures when Jesus was preaching, the people around them and the Pharisees said, "Don't we not know this guy? He is the son of Joseph. How can he say that he came from heaven?" They said that. The Bible says that. So Joseph grew, made sure that he grew his child, his son Jesus, whom he accepted in his heart as his own child that the Lord has given him, in all rightful ways, in fulfilling all the deeds that Lord has presented to him to be done in the child's life. Isn't that wonderful how God chose a person, a man, to be his father on earth? Yeah. Hallelujah. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. I always imagine. So when Susmita was conceived, church prayed before she was conceived, because we were longing for a child for years, and the doctor said it's not going to be possible. And the church prayed, God put the child in. That's what really happened. and then the day of labor came. It was a week for us, because we went. She didn't feel any pain. It's just the doctor said that he's going to be born on such a day, so we were hoping for the day. So we went to the hospital, came back without the baby, went to the hospital, came back without the baby. And I said, look, this is not going to happen, and I'm going to be the surgeon someday. Okay, she was like, okay, let's wait for a few more days. And then the time came. we went to the hospital. We were waiting, so they had to induce pain, and the pain started. God gave her wonderful, amazing strength. There's no such pain I saw on her face. She was so calm, relaxed, and I thank the Lord for giving such wonderful experiences that she has gone through in that phase. We were inside the labor ward. And then the doctor came and said, well, you know what, Susmita, your son is not coming out. We have to force him out. Okay, well, thank you for saying something at the least positive. Get him out now. But they really tried for a normal delivery, but it didn't really happen. So in a fraction of a second, they moved her into the operation theater. I was sitting, and the doctor put the... I don't know, what is it called? A shield or something? Expert here. Drapes. Drapes was there. But they were in a hurry, because his heartbeat is stopping, is dropping down. Like in seconds, it's going down from 120, it's going 80 and 60, and it went to 40. They were in a hurry, and I saw how God has given the ability for human minds to do such a marvelous thing. That's not easy at all. It's not easy at all. I was looking at it, and the drape fell down. And the doctor said, the father is seeing the baby. I was like, yeah, that's okay. Come on, take him out. I told her, like, take him out. And they were laughing. They was like, and the guy came out, and he was staring at everyone. He didn't even cry. I was surprised to see a baby who never cried when he came out of the womb. He was staring at everyone. And the doctor was like, this guy is staring at me. And they wrapped him and gave him to me. And I was in a lot of mixed emotions. You know, being a father for the first time is a lot of emotions. And I was holding him, and I was just thanking the Lord, and they were doing the stitches. I was holding her hand, and she was in that medication. She couldn't comprehend much things. And sometimes God works funny ways. He had a good sense of humor. The nurse came to me and said, well, guess what? Your son has more hairs, definitely not from you. I said, yeah! I'm embarrassed. I was like, really? Well, you could have said congratulations.
That was so funny. We all laughed, and it was a wonderful experience in that hospital. Oh, that's so good. Well, that's teamwork. God makes it a dream work. Oh, that's good. All right. Thank you, Lord. God has a humor sense. You know, sometimes he makes a lot of things that makes funny and good. It was a cheerful moment. We all laughed. It was happy. We forgot what happened for the last few weeks and what we went through. All we saw is the joy of the Lord in our hands. Hallelujah. Yeah, that's the most beautiful thing of being a father. The joy of the Lord is always in your hands. You have to exercise it, and you have to embrace that God has given such wonderful things in your life as well. Hallelujah. All right. Well, now, Joseph has a wonderful father, but still he is a human father. He was a forgetful dad. He forgot his own son. Can you imagine that? Luke chapter 4:2, verses 41-51. That's a long scripture. We'll just stick on to, you know the story, so we'll just stick on to the fact. They went to Jerusalem for the Passover, and then they left Jesus thinking he was in the crowd. We think a lot and we forgot. So if any of you fathers has been targeted stating, oh, you forgot this, don't you worry. It's in the scripture. Defend yourself. Hallelujah. All right. So forgetfulness is also a part of being a father. We forget a lot of things. For good. We forget things for good. You see, if we remember many things in our life won't be peaceful. Because we have burdens to carry. We have to meet the finances. We have to make sure there is a shelter above the family's head. They should be protected in every means. So it's good. Okay. All right. Now we are at the end of it. We saw about Joseph, but we should never forget about each one's fathers. Today is Father's Day. Take a moment. If you have any grudge against or any unforgiveness against your father, forgive him in Jesus' name. Let him bring peace. See, I'll end up with this testimony. My father took me when I was 7 years old to a woman and said, this is your mother. And I looked at him. Huh? Okay. What happened to my mother? We don't need her. I wasn't quiet. I went right back to my mom and said, this man took me to a woman and said, that's my mother. What are you going to do? Then the rest is history. He kicked us out. We struggled a lot, but the Lord met us through this journey. See, the amount of traumatization that I went through with my mom, the shame, because we lived in a very close community, because our family is doing ministry as well, we faced a lot of shame. My friends will come, when I go to school, my friends, because it is more of a mining community, because every father knows the other person's life and they work together as in industry. My friends, when I go to school, my friend will come and say, hey, I saw your father with a lady. Is that your mom? It hurt me a lot. I went through a lot of situations where I really want to murder my father. I tried 3 times. God stopped me each time. And then I left what I was doing against him. I couldn't forgive him. I could not forgive him. I was able to forgive everyone in my family, every one of my friends, every situation, but except my father. I wasn't able to. But the Lord met me when I was, I'd say 12 years ago, again. And he said, you must forgive him. I wrestled with him. I said, how can you say that? What did I do to him? Did I not work hard? Did I not do everything that
that his name has been said, like in the public, that your son has achieved these or whatever this is or that. Did I not make him proud? Why do you ask me to forgive him? Ask him to come and ask and be sorry for what he has done. But the Lord said something very specific. You see, I forgive you. But if you want me to forgive you, you must forgive those who sin against you. I fought with the Lord and finally gave up. I said, it's okay, Lord. I realize that you are my Father. I have a purpose in your kingdom. I forgive that man. I forgive my Father in Jesus' name. You see, the peace that came into my heart, I can never put that in words. That's a wonderful thing. And there is a blessing that brought along with that forgiveness in my life. And the reason why I share this, forgiveness is very important in life. So if as fathers, you have to forgive your children for some reason, forgive them. Let the Lord deal with them. Then I went back. Before I saw my father, I saw him as an enemy, but now I have compassion on him. See, why are you doing these things? God loves you. I showed love. That forgiveness, the bitterness was out of my heart. And I found love was surging out from my heart towards him. And that was beautiful. I never experienced that. I may not understand him as a father in this world, but I do understand him as a father that God has chosen him to be one for our family. Hallelujah. That is my sermon today. Well, glory to the Lord. He is the one who told me to speak all these things. Last but not the least, we should never forget this one wonderful person who lives with us, the Holy Spirit. He's a person, he's a wonderful, amazing person, constantly seeks our heart. Who can do that? See, Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 1:31. And in the wilderness, where you have seen how the Lord your God carried you, as a man carries his son, all the way that you went until you came to this place. Holy Spirit carries us until we go and settle in our own mansion. Each one of us have a mansion, a beautiful room with golden stuff. I asked for a goldfish in my room. I hope God will give me that. So, he carries us in his shoulders as his own son and daughter. That's the wonderful God that we serve. Jesus said, it's better that I go away so I prepare the room for you. So I'll come back. He's going to come back soon. Never know when he's going to come back. It doesn't matter for us. All we hope is that when we close our eyes here, we walk into our room and sit on our couch and say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I'm so glad God has brought me into this wonderful family. We're going to give him praise. We're going to thank him for what he has done in our lives. Hallelujah. No, Young is going to share? Okay.
I want to do what all the fathers want to do. I want to give you a hug.
Oh.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.